This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Of course, plenty has happened since we last spoke on Friday. Markets have ebbed and flowed. We've seen massive rises and massive falls for the oil price, for instance. In fact, I was talking to Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong on Monday morning, my time, and before you knew it, it was a little bit out of date, our conversation, because Trump announced a more dovish approach, a possible ceasefire, and we saw oil prices drop 15%. Things have come back up again as far as oil, but there's still lower than the highs that they were. It's very difficult to gauge what is happening in markets, isn't it? Because it's very much at the behest of what Donald Trump might say or the latest from the Middle East.
That's right. And I think there's a dynamic here that's tricky, Johnny, which is Iran has poked back at the Trump administration, claiming that Trump is talking to himself, right? That he's not actually in proper discussions with Iran. Now, in more recent, they've seemingly been a little bit more open-minded. They've stated their demands, et cetera. So too has the U.S. But to your point, we have been left with significant amounts of volatility as people are completely unsure of where this thing is truly going. You have, of course, from the beginning, from the first few days of this, the Trump administration has voiced that they think it's going to be a short conflict, that it's not going to be lasting, because they know, as well as their opponents, the Iranians know, that a prolonged conflict is very painful to the inflation story globally, which we've talked about many times, and we'll talk more about later in this episode. But where we're kind of left standing is the markets are kind of buying it, but also not buying it. So the comment, the Truth Social post that you mentioned on Monday, sent the NASDAQ up three full percentage points in a 5-minute candlestick move. That is a massive move in 5 minutes to see take place. So clearly the market continues to be hesitant. But the point being, though, is that after that tweet or Truth Social post, you then saw the market proceed to kind of sell off that rally very quickly, and shows that there is still a large level of disbelief in this market, this uncertainty. You know, who can you really trust? Can you trust what Trump is saying? Can you trust that he is correct in saying that the Iranians want a deal, that they are willing to make a deal? Or are both sides just kind of posturing for their own outcome? We've also seen rumors or discussion of military continuing to move more aggressively into the region. And, I thought this was worth mentioning today too, which is I took a look at the poly market odds for a ground invasion of Iran in April 30th of this year. Probabilities were set just over 50%. The betting market has a 50%+ chance that there will be some sort of ground incursion into Iran by the U.S. and or Israel by April 30th. I thought that was really interesting to see that. So there is still this large uncertainty with financial markets, who to believe, who not to believe, et cetera. And with this deadline that we've been hearing about, right, the energy power plants being struck by the U.S. in 48 hours, that was then pulled back and given till the end of the week, still leaves a massive overhang on this market and a lot of pressure. On one hand, there is the sword. On one hand, there is the peace offering branch from the Trump administration. So very interesting to see where all this stuff goes. We did see a huge bounce back in gold and silver prices that I think were worth mentioning. But oil price remains bid. And as long as oil remains bid, this market, I don't know, can easily relax. I've also got for the listeners some interesting statistics. The OVX, if you type that into your preferred charting platform or just do a search on it, this is the CBOE's Crude Oil Volatility Index. It is currently sitting around 88, and that's giving or pricing about a 5.5% expected move each day for the price of crude oil. So we are still expecting massive swings. And to also extrapolate that, if we type in GV, if you look for gold volatility, GVZ, right, what you can see here is it has a 38. And if we take that number, we can determine that you're expecting on per day basis about a 2.3 to 2.4% move in gold. And finally, we'll do the last study on the volatility index for the S&P 500, which is sitting actually lower than the other two, but still elevated at 20, let's call it 26. And that's giving about a 1.6% expected move each day. So to long story short answer what volatility is looking like, it is still very, very much anticipating large swings in either direction for commodities and stocks alike. And also the dollar index. Dollar index is seeing some volatility that we have not seen in quite a while. Dollar index is continuing to push higher here. It's at 99.5 and still kind of testing the upper limits of the last 52-week high. Well, at least last several months, going back as far as May of last year, so almost a one-year high. We are pretty close to that level and continue to see strong demand for dollar as we see kind of an interesting story playing out here with the U.S. versus other nations. I'll give you an example of what I mean. The U.S. is actually energy independent. They make enough oil to actually be an exporter of oil, and they're the largest producer of oil on planet Earth. That said, it is making the dollar look relatively strong. It's one of the factors, I should say, leading to dollar strength right now. You have reserve currency status, but also oil independence makes the U.S. Actually stand out as a stronger contender here relative to its peers. Just a bit of an update on stocks as well. They are back down about 0.5% today, while meanwhile, crude oil remains bid. U.S. oil is up 1.9% today, back above 90 at the time of recording this. So volatility remains.
Nick, we've had the latest UK inflation numbers today, and they've stayed at 3%. But these figures were, of course, gathered before the Middle East war began. So we're in a completely different world now. And when it comes to inflation generally and more globally, this is obviously going to have a massive effect on where we're going to go with interest rates. Some people suggesting here, some commentators, that we might indeed get 3 rate rises in the UK alone. Is it the same on your side of the pond?
Look, it is hard to deny that this geopolitical outbreak does not complicate things. And it is why when we talk about on the podcast so frequently, I always point out that geopolitical shocks are the sorts of things that can trigger recessions. That being said, much of the global economy has held up very resiliently in recent years. So there is a little bit of cushion there from some of the momentum. However, high prices have been around for a while. That's tapping into the consumer globally, not just in the US, but where you are in the UK and in Europe and in many places where things have been expensive. And that's been a challenge that I don't know that another round of inflation and interest rate hikes would go down as easy, especially when last time, Johnny, one thing to think about is that we had this story about the AI narrative breakout. Now that same AI narrative is under a lot of pressure. We've talked about that on the podcast. Innovation in the AI world is leading to disruption in other key areas. So it's a difficult circumstance. And I do think that to your point, inflation staying sticky in the UK, also rising and expected to continue rising in many other places, is driving yields higher and pricing out in the bond market. Globally, global bond market probabilities for rate cuts this year. I mean, we've even seen the RBA, that is the Royal Bank of Australia, actually on the hiking side of things. They've hiked interest rates. And so you have this story where we went into 2026 thinking rate cuts galore, and a large part of it was thanks to low oil prices. That story at least has dried up for now. And as long as this geopolitical overhang is still there, I do think that that really challenges just how many rate cuts we're going to be seeing this year. And in the US, and to your point, in the UK, we are now seeing that dramatically shift back towards the direction of rate hikes, which even to market beginners, they may remember that 2022, full of rate hikes, was no fun for stock market indices, and many currencies like the dollar went screaming higher, while more risk-on or commodity-based currencies saw a big downside move. So in the case of the UK, just to add a little bit of flavor on that, is they've already been dealing with slow growth and sticky inflation before all of this. If they have to go through a round of rate hikes to keep inflation at bay, it definitely puts them in a more painful circumstance. The British pound against the US dollar lost a lot of value in 2022. And it does feel that, at least for now, you have to keep an open mind to the possibility of another 2022 type environment. And I'm just looking at the British pound versus the US dollar. From peak to trough, this is going back from 2021, where we started to see inflation spike in the US, to the low end. You're talking about a 25% loss of value in the British pound versus the dollar from peak to trough. Now, that's taking the extremes, but still, just goes to show it can be a very painful period for currencies in the event that you see inflation-induced interest rate hikes globally.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.